Don't overpay. GetTom.ca. If you guys are in the Durham region of like the greater Toronto area, anywhere near Oshawa, starting, I believe, on June 12th, I want to say. I think it's June 12th or 11th, whatever. You can find it somewhere on my Instagram. It'll be up there. But I've partnered up with Daniel Foch and Nick Hill of the Canadian Real Estate Investor Podcast. And we're going to be doing real estate networking events for investors and, you know, people just involved in the real estate industry in Oshawa. So again, our first one is going to be later this month, next week. And we're going to be, again, just bringing together some people for a little bit of good old fashioned networking.
An unrehearsed program presenting inside opinions and forecasts on major issues of the day. Sponsored in part by Edison Electric Institute, the Association of Electric Companies, and by Northrop Corporation. Northrop, making advanced technology work.
George Washington. I am Daniel Snuffle, and gonna ask you to do all the things, the like, subscribe, leave a review, all that stuff, you know, on all the platforms, excluding TuneIn. I don't want to get into my TuneIn issues again. We've got to move on. So today, we pushed this episode back a little bit in order to get the final results of all the sports. And it turns out that the Oilers did do it. It's good for them. And I spoke to Jordan F. about sports. First, we started off with some Blue Jays, and then we hit the two other major sports that are going into their final rounds. And then after that, we just freestyled for a bit. So without further ado, here is Jordan F. and... for all the non-sports fans out there, the unadmirers of sport, there will be a normal podcast at the usual time coming up next week. So enjoy. Man with his ear to the ground of sport. Yes, indeed. How goes it?
Not too bad. Ears pretty good.
Ears holding up okay?
Ears holding up, even though it's constantly on the ground of sport.
That's right.
Okay. But yeah, you know, it's unfortunately just watched the Jays get slapped, but...
yeah. It's it's like this is a recording, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they just can't beat division opponents.
Yep. Well, at least they're like they beat the White Sox, so like they're not the worst team in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not.
That is correct.
Not looking too good. Hey, you know what? Hey, let's like I have other subjects to talk about, but like let's start there. What about these Blue Jays?
Yeah, you know what? It's tough to Well, it's not tough to pinpoint what's wrong. Is they can't really hit the ball right now. They don't get timely hitting. They never really hit with runners in scoring position. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was off to a horrible start. He has been picking it up in the last month, though. But it just seems like, you know, guys that this team really relied on, like Springer and Bichette and others, are just not getting the job done at the plate. Bearshaw was a nice story to start the season. He's kind of cooled off a bit.
That's right.
But it just seems like the guys that they're relying on to hit the ball and create offense aren't getting it done, which sucks because they're actually getting really good pitching from their rotation and their bullpen. And usually that's what teams struggle to find the most when they're trying to make the playoffs. But yeah, for the Jays, it's mainly the hitting. They can't really seem to hit the ball with runners in scoring position, especially.
Yeah. I think it's just like this team, like, I'll be honest, I kind of don't watch Blue Jays right now. I probably will once like all of the other sports, major sports are settled. And also like we got French Open. I know you're probably not a tennis fan, but I'd rather watch that than any Blue Jays. I just feel like this team is just very dysfunctional, and there were two like pivot moments for me, or like deciding moments. Like the first one was that first, I can't remember what year it was, like a few years ago when they traded all of the like fun guys, when they first had that the home run jacket.
Like Hernandez and Gurriel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you know what? Those guys are having great seasons with other teams.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, how did those trades go? And they traded him for, and then they traded that amazing, that prospect, catcher.
Yeah, Gab Moreno.
And they got.
Yeah, he was lights out last year. They have made some questionable moves in the past.
And I'm sorry, they kept the fat guy instead, who's like clearly gonna he's gonna regress.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that either.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Oh, Alejandro Kirk, he's already regressing.
Yeah.
Look, which was funny because they're supposed to be an analytically minded team and they kept the fat guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, do you even really need analytics for that? Like, come on.
I don't think that's what the analytics were saying. Yeah. Ross.
Freaking Ross, man. And they keep doubling down on this. And then, the other big point for me was the playoffs when What's-His-Face was pitching and they took him out. Barrios was pitching amazingly and they just took him out. And then after that...
And that's when you got to throw things like analytics out the window because you never know when you're going to be back there. Because when are the Jays going to... Like, I don't think they're going to make it this year. Like, when is this group going to be back there? Who knows? Who knows? They're talking about trading Bo and Vladdy now.
Right, exactly.
This could be a long couple years, like it's looking like, unless they don't turn this around. And frankly, the thing that this team doesn't have is they just don't have that. And it's hard to have this in baseball because baseball isn't a physical sport.
Right.
But those Jays teams in the mid, like 15, 16, they had like a killer instinct, like Donaldson, Bautista, Tulowitzki. They wanted to win.
Right.
You know, the Jays were down 8-0. I saw Springer hit a home run today and he still like pointed at the sky. Like he did something cool. He didn't fucking do anything cool, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you hit a home run. It doesn't really matter. You know, like you don't point to the sky until you're not last in your division.
Right. And his Springer's just adamant about like being like leading off when the guy is like, he's a spent guy. He's like, it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. Like, it's just like
fumes. His age seems to be catching up with him now.
It just feels like poo holes or something. Like, it just, like, we're just stuck with this shitty contract. Who's going to take it? No one's going to take it. And he refuses to, like, change his role on the team. Like, isn't that, like, part of being a leader?
Yeah. And he's injury prone. And at the end, you're right, at the end of the day, but that's the Blue Jays. In order for them to get free agents, they always have to overpay. And at the time, the deal did look really good. And look, I'm not like totally like out on Springer yet, but yeah, he definitely hasn't been lived up to the money yet, in my opinion. And I don't know. Hopefully, I really don't know. That's in a whole topic for another day. In my opinion, like the future of guys like Springer and where they go from there, like, because. Yeah, if you could find a trading partner for him, obviously that'd be great. But yeah, who's really going to take? I think he has 2 years left at $30 million, so it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, like maybe next off season you could trade him when he has 1 year left. It's almost kind of similar to Tavares with the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Like he's overpaid. When you signed him, it looked good, but now he's overpaid and you didn't win anything, so it looks bad.
Yeah. I agree with that, but at least Tavares is willing to be the second center, and I mean, the season coming up, he could, like, if it was possible, but I don't think it would be. I don't think he would be too angry about being a third line center or bottom six. Although, like, I don't think it really makes sense for the team. But I think, like, hypothetically, he would do it. The Springer will not do it. That's the thing. Like, the reports are that he's, like, really pissy about, like, ever switching his place in the lineup.
Yeah, and he's off to a slow start this year. I'm just looking at the numbers right now.
Yeah, same here. 213 average. I'm sorry. We don't look at average anymore. But, like, I think average is it has some value. Like, you're not
for sure.
You're not hitting. You're not 213. And, like, what is his on base? It is
303,
which is, like, decent. But still, this is
crazy. Middle of the pack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Vladimir.
Yeah, he should be a guy hitting it, like, at the bottom of the lineup right now. But the thing is, the whole Jays team is kind of struggling. So it's, you know, like, their other option for leadoff was always Bo Bichette, but Bo Bichette was off to probably his worst start in his career. And I don't know if he's slowly starting to turn around, but see, the thing is right now that it's not only that they're losing, but their players that, okay, let's say they were losing, but, like, Bo Bichette was having a great start to the year, at least you could gain something maybe in a potential trade. Yeah. But now you're kind of stuck. You're just stuck. Like, they're just stuck. I don't know how else to put it. Like, the only players that they would get assets for in a trade is pitchers, but, like, they're pitching so good. Like, do you really want to break that up? Like that's the only chance you really have. There is still a slim chance they make the playoffs and turn this around, but they got to get moving quick and they got to start beating division opponents.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to, if you're, you know, your most games in your season are against division opponents. And if you can't win series against them, like, then you're not going to make the playoffs. And that's what it always comes down to in this league.
Okay. So let's look at, who would you say are, like, we got I say obviously Yankees are better than the Blue Jays.
Yes. The Yankees are off to a great start. They are an underdog story. Not an underdog story, but not a lot of people thought they would be this good this year. The addition of Juan Soto has, you know, been great. Aaron Judge is playing like an MVP caliber player again. So, yeah, they are one of the best teams in the division for sure. And this weekend they play the Dodgers, probably the best team in the National League. So that's going to be a pretty good series.
Yeah. And then you got the Orioles. The Orioles are, like, I think they might be.
Yeah, they won the division last year.
And they're, like, they could win it again. You never know. Down the stretch, like, yeah, it could happen. Yeah. So that's two teams that I would automatically already say are better than the Blue Jays. So, like, that means that you're not even going for the division at this point.
No, they don't have a chance at
the
division.
They have no you're in
they
the,
potentially, They are, what, like, maybe five games out of the final wild card spot. Minnesota has 33 wins. There's a chance, like, there's a chance they go on a tear here and make that final wild card spot. It's just the division, like, if is not in reach for them, in my opinion.
To be honest, I don't even want them to try. I want them to start trading assets because, like, this is not working. Because this is the, like, what, third season of them trying this, like, no offense, like, more defense. And the funny thing, because, like, with as you were, like, referencing before, those 15, 16 teams, those Donaldson, Bautista teams, like, their defense was kind of, like, shit sometimes. They had, like, all right pitching. Like, they had some pitchers that were pretty good. They gave them good innings. They pushed it far enough out. Like, they had they gave innings so that, like, you didn't have to really use the bullpen as much. But, like, they had, like, a talent. They had an identity. They were a plus.
Oh, they were one of the best offensive teams in the league.
Especially with home runs.
Right, and that covered up everything else.
Exactly. What is the plus of this team? I would not even say at one time, like, I think last year it was, like, pitching. And Barrios is incredible. He is a very good pitcher. But, like, I would not say that, like, pitching is, like, a plus for them. It's, like, they're pretty good at it. And then their bullpen seems to be kind of, like, falling apart at the seams now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't do much this offseason, and they relied mainly on the players that they had to get better. Like, but unfortunately, like, most of those guys that they're relying on kind of regressed. And they didn't take the next step, or they just, you know, these guys they picked up in the offseason, like these, you know, utility guys who were coming off good seasons, just are not, you know, they're not pulling their weight either. And you can never rely on guys like that, like, you know, Vogelbach or thing, you know, I forget the other guy they had now in the infield, but it seems to be like they kind of threw it in Vladdy and Bo's, like, court and Springer and these guys and said, okay, like, you know, you guys want to get paid like top guys, because this is a thing too, right? Like, these guys are due for big contracts, right? Like Vladdy and Bo soon. So I think their whole thing was like, you guys got to want to get paid like top guys, bring us to the playoffs. Oh, right. You can't, you're not getting paid. Like, and you know what? You kind of have to, in a way, you kind of have to respect that from the management, because, like, they're really doing their homework. Like, if these guys can't get it done, then we can't pay these guys, and we can't be locked in the long term, because we're never going to take that next step.
But then at a certain point, you got to be like, you got to find your, like, as in, like, investing, it's like, you got to find your ins and outs, your, like, your entry and exit out of the market. You got to trade these guys before they still have value. Like, I personally think, and I kind of thought this for a while, that Vladimir Guerrero is like a phantom. Like, his big season where he hit all those home runs, like, half of it was in a minor league baseball park. And, like, ever since then, it's kind of been like, this has been the history of this guy. This is what, like, this, he's showing us what he is, right?
Yeah, I know a lot of people are starting to think that too. Like, he used to be compared to Miguel Cabrera when he came into the league, but he's nowhere close to that right now. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, I can't say exactly what's going on there, but I just feel like he's got nobody really pushing him. You know what I mean? Like, someone like really mentoring him, and like, I don't know. Maybe the Jays didn't do a good enough job with getting, like, veterans, you know, around him at a younger age that he respects. And I don't know. It would suck to see him go because, you know, he does really love being a Blue Jay. I don't know why, but I never saw Bo Bichette being a Blue Jay for his whole career. I always thought at one point he would be traded, but
right.
Right now it's looking like, yeah, like potentially they both could be gone.
Well, Vladimir, but like the thing is,
I don't think that a trade.
Yeah,
a trade with those guys, I don't think will happen until the offseason, though. Just want to make that clear.
But like the thing is that like there's a ticking time clock with like Vlad because or Vladdy because. I mean, like, I don't know, like, a month ago, since people don't really follow the Blue Jays that much, like, the vibes on Vladdy are still, like, he still gets that, like, idea of, like, him being a premier, like, hitter. But that's going to start going away the longer you hold on to him, right? So it's either you decide that you want to trade him you're going to start, the value is going to diminish of this guy, so you got to move up.
Oh,
him
it's already
before,
diminishing.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Diminishing.
Right, but it can get worse. It can. It does get. It's like they say, it gets better. It gets worse.
Well, I think the hope is that if they are going to trade these guys, this is why I don't think it'll happen until the off season. They go. They find themselves a little bit here, and then you know. Reevaluate them in the off season, reevaluate the team, and then potentially could get, you know, something in return for them. I don't think trading them right now would be a smart decision at all. Personally, in my opinion, like I don't think so. But.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
And then, but the other, I just got to add this is like the other irritating thing is that they build this team, which is going to be like defensively minded. And it's not like they're like an incredible defensive team.
No, they're not.
They make like mistakes all the time. I mean, like, I guess more last year, but like they make, and
look,
they also,
their outfield is solid.
Right.
Their outfield is run with some of the best in the league.
Yeah.
Like Kiermaier, Springer, you know, say what you want about him offensively. He is a you know, elite defensive outfielder, and so is Varsho.
Agreed.
And David Schneider has, you know, probably the only feel-good story on this team.
Yeah.
Is also really solid out there. So I would tip my hat to their outfield and say that they are, you know, top 10 in the league in terms of defense. But, yeah, their infield, oh, man, it's just like... Oh, you know, you bring guys in like Turner and Falefa or whatever his name, IKF.
Turner, Falefa.
Yeah. Like, these guys were just all like, you know, pretty much utility guys on other teams. And
yeah.
Bichio and Bichette, like, I still think Bichette long term should probably be a second baseman. I think Short's maybe
a little
too ambitious for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just don't have like we don't have any like elite defenders on that left side, like short and third anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. But, you know, they have been trying Vladdy again out at third, and
I saw that, yeah.
You know, he's got the arm for it, so I don't know, maybe that's a new vent, like hey, at this point might as well, right? Like if we can't get any worse.
Like you can't, like that's the thing, is like that's the issue, like that's one of the biggest issues. People are not in their right positions. Like Varsho needs to just be like the center fielder now. Springer should be right fielder.
Yeah, Springer does mostly play right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now.
Vladimir Guerrero should not be a first baseman if he's going to put up these numbers. Like if you're not getting production from the lineup, then you need someone who can just only basically hit. You got to get like just straight up production from left field and also first base. These are the major places where
those are hard hitting positions.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. You can't have like can't waste
historically
those positions.
Like your best offensive players have played at either right field, first base, or left field.
Right. Exactly.
But that's not happening right now. And I think maybe putting Vladdy at left, back at third, is because potentially they're trying to go after a high offensive first baseman. I don't know.
I would welcome that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there are, players out there that, you look at the Mets, I think they were, potentially going to start making some trades soon. They got high paying, Pete Alonso potentially, that could be a name out there. I'm not saying the Jays are going to get him. I'm just saying that could be maybe the mindset of why they're moving Vladdy to third.
Right.
Because they want to go out and get some sort of high, hard hitting DH first baseman type of guy. Cause these guys that they're bringing in clearly aren't working. And I have no idea what's going on with Joey Votto, but I don't understand why they don't just give him a shot. I don't know if he's still hurt. Yeah. They just kind of put him on Robidoux Island.
It was so weird. Yeah. What? He hurt his ankle and then he just disappeared.
He apparently tripped on a bat.
Yeah.
In training camp. Ankle is still.
Yeah. They should. I don't know. Where would you place him?
Well, look, I would put him at DH or first base. That's really the only place you could put, especially if Vladdy's at third. But I don't see, why they wouldn't give him a try, considering what their lineup looks like right now.
Yeah.
And unless he must really still be hurt. That's why he's... I mean, he is old, so...
Yeah. And then that's the last thing. We should probably move on from Blue Jays, but that's the last thing. I always feel it's great what they did. The GM and president Shapiro and Atkins is great with the renovations and everything, being able to do that, the political stuff of that.
But
they do seem like professional people. They did do a lot of great stuff with renovating the off season Dunedin and their training camp there.
They're big home reno guy.
Exactly. Yeah, they should have started a series. Throw that on Sportsnet. Yeah.
They should just stick to renovation.
Exactly. Yeah. But
hey, the Rogers Center does look beautiful.
Exactly.
It was a dump.
Yeah, it's absolutely because as they said when they were doing it, they made it into a purpose built stadium now.
And I think that is the only reason why the attendance hasn't fallen off massively, because people are still going to check out the stadium.
Exactly, yeah, indeed.
I'm going to go in a few weeks. Exactly. I really want to see it.
Which makes it all the more annoying that, they are not as good as they could be. And, this is what I was driving at, is that they come here and everything that they've done with that, off field, has been great, but it just feels like they've brought the whole I guess they're called the Guardians now, but they just they brought that AL Central style where they don't hit that much, and it's doubles are okay, we don't get home runs, I'll never feel that is the formula for this team. This is the AL East. You gotta just be able to hit home runs. You got stadiums where...
Yeah, you gotta have someone in the MVP conversation.
Right. And just this team, any AL East team should be hitting home runs just off the basic fact that you're playing in band boxes.
In the AL East. The shortest parks in the league. Look, I agree. Look, I think they've done some good things, but I agree. I still think it could also be ownership too, but Rogers could be getting a little stingy, but
it doesn't seem like
that,
it.
Yeah, the way they've been operating the last couple of years, it seems like they've been I know they were in on Ohtani, but that seemed kind of a pipe dream anyways.
Yeah.
But the moves that they've been making just seem very I guess you could say ticky-tacky moves that you see teams that are middling make.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Not really teams that are really going after it. And look, the Varsho trade was great. Like, I didn't want to give up Mourinho, but getting Varsho was
a good deal.
But yeah. I think they gave up a little too much. But yeah, I don't know. It seems that they've tried, and it's almost like, okay, they tried with Springer. It's not really working. They realized maybe they gave up a bit too much for Varsho. They didn't get Otani, so it's kind of like, okay, like, we're done trying. We're going to go back to, like, managing, like the Cleveland Indians. Right?
Okay, so. Yeah, exactly. But, like, okay, I just want to say with George Springer is... he's going to be a go down when he retires. He's going to be like seen as like he was a good player. People are going to have good memories of him. Just like with Houston and here as well, first part of it, people are going to like him. Like, people will have fond memories. It's just that, like, the guy, I think, like, a lot of it is psychological. It's like the guy lives in delusion that he's still that same player, and it's like just another day, and it's just all going to turn around for him. Like, that's the...
Yeah.
It's like you're... Like what you said, where he's, like, when he hits a home run, when it doesn't even matter, he's, like... It just reminds me of, like, a faded quarterback or something. Like he's not living on the same planet as us. Like, and it's not helping. And the other thing is that, just on an entertainment standpoint, like, Toronto people, we want to go out to the game, we want to buy our Bud Lights... And we want to, like, see some dingers. That's what this team has been about, even when they were crap. Like, I mean, like, the worst, like, of the, like, sad, like, old, like, 2000s.
Yeah, they still had guys like Wells and Rios being, like, entertaining.
Exactly.
And Scott Rowland and Matty Stairs.
Exactly. Guys who hit dingers.
I agree with you.
Yeah, you got to hit dingers.
You got to really entertain the crowd. I think Toronto, like, man, I feel like there's this like thing here where, like, most people believe that baseball is some dead sport or whatever, but that's honestly, like, that's not the case. When you drive around in Toronto in the summertime, baseball diamonds are filled with kids playing ball.
That's right. Yeah.
And when the Jays are winning, oh man, it's great. Like, it's probably the best the city is feels, because it's summertime.
Yeah.
You know, you're outside, you're watching a Blue Jays game, you want to be entertained, you want the team to be winning. And yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what the fix is here. It'd be nice for them to acquire some offense, but that's a lot harder said than done. And they've already emptied the cupboard for some deals already. Yeah. So, there's, you know, how much prospect capital do we really have? So we're just going to have, honestly, it sucks to say, but you're just going to have to wait and see how the season plays out. And like I said, I don't think there's going to be any major changes this year, and whatever happens will happen in the off season. And that's why it's so frustrating to watch this season as well, because it's like, you know, this is probably what you're going to get for all 162 games.
Yeah, exactly. There will be no change.
So it's up to them to turn it around.
Yeah.
And what, another management change? I don't really think that's going to help at this point either.
Yeah.
So, unless you bring Gibby back or something.
Yeah. No, I don't think management would really help. It's, not at all. I'm just looking at the lineup here, and I'm just, like, getting mad looking at it. Like, man. God dang it. Like, Schneider's pretty good, but, like, Schneider, it's like they didn't even want to play him at first. They, like, had no trust that he was actually good.
Yeah, they thought he was a fluke, and then he just kept, like, forcing his way, like, no, like, you need me.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't, how can you even give them credit for that? For this guy who, like, this amazing story where they were like, nah, he can't do it. Like, they didn't even want, like, it seemed like they didn't even want him to, like, they did not believe the hype.
Yeah, and he had, like, a historic start to his career. But, yeah, where this team, like, gets me is just that infield, man. Like, right now, it just seems like it's just, like, utility players. And, like you said, like, it's like they're just kind of throwing guys at positions and hoping it works. It's not, they didn't really come up with a plan for anything.
Yeah.
Like they didn't really come up for a plan for third base after Chapman left. They never really had a solid guy at second. First base now, they're throwing Guerrero at third. So first base is just like a yo-yo position. And, you know, these guys they got, like Turner and Falefe and what, Clement and Biggio.
Yeah.
You know, Biggio, I thought, should have been gone a long time ago when his value was still kind of high.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't, and then, yeah, I don't really, it's tough. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
Indeed. Okay, what's the phrase? Let's change gears now to,
change gears.
We got our lineups for the two big matches of seven, NBA and NHL. They got the Stanley Cup and then that other kind of trophy, Larry O'Brien, I believe it's called.
O'Brien, yeah.
All right, so let's start. Good old Larry.
Larry and Stanley.
Oh, yeah, bud. So let's start with the Stanley Cup. We got the Oilers, which impressive win against Dallas. And Rangers, where it just looked like, oh, not Rangers, Florida, the Florida Pumas, Panthers, Big Cats.
The Fort Lauderdale Panthers.
That's right.
Because they don't play in Miami.
Yeah, that's right.
Represent. They play in good old Fort Lauderdale where people go to die.
That's right, yeah. But I guess that's why a lot of like Canadian people, they switch over to the Panthers eventually when they decide to just like retire there. The Panthers, it just looked like that last game where they clinched it. It looked like they just, I would say, using like technical terms, like the Rangers just looked all tuckered out by that point. Like they had no more juice, no more gas in the proverbial tank of their team's mm-hmm. vehicle. So we got these two matchups. You can go on any, take any tact you want, talk about those series, and or talk about the teams themselves. Go ahead.
Yeah. Listen, if you want me to call the series, I'm going to go with the Oilers just because I bet on them. But, but yeah, also, fair. I just think that Stuart Skinner right now is playing like one of the best goalies in the playoffs. And we saw this similar situation last year with Vegas when Aiden Hill got really hot against the Panthers.
Right.
In the final round, Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, me and you, we've talked about Edmonton's goaltending a lot this playoffs. And I think it's finally coming, like it's finally solid.
Like it's clicking,
and I think it's happening at the right time.
Yeah.
And you saw Edmonton yesterday, like they don't need a lot of chances to score. They just need a chance.
Yeah.
And they only had like 10 shots in that last game against Dallas.
Yeah.
And they just had great opportunities and were able to create offense. And, you know, McDavid is magical and Draisaitl as well. You know, playing like a beast. Hyman playing like a beast still. Evan Bouchard stepping up, looking like a Norris Trophy defenseman. They're really, like, I just believe that Edmonton has played harder teams as well and might be a bit more battle-tested. However, I'm not, you know, considering the Panthers out at all. They are a shutdown team. They shut down the New York Rangers, like, you know, magnificently.
Right.
But the Rangers, as good as they are, don't have McDavid and Draisaitl.
Right. I think also that...
And,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You go. Go ahead.
No, and the Panthers, you know, I just didn't think Tampa and Boston really tested them that much. The only time they were really tested was against the Rangers. I think, you know, Edmonton, like the Edmonton, it's like they were pushed to the brinks in like all their series with, you know, Vancouver, like losing the first game, going down 3-2, same with Dallas, like going down 2-1. This team is just never out. Yeah. Honestly, they're really never out. But Florida is going to be a huge test for them, and they are a fantastic team, well coached. I would give the edge to Florida in the coaching department for sure. But like every year, the Stanley Cup's a toss-up, and Florida's been there already last year, so you know we'll see if that helps them out this year. But I don't know. I think this Oilers team is probably even a tougher opponent than their Vegas match last year.
So, like, let's look at it. So, on the West, so Oilers first played LA, right?
Yeah.
And LA is like, I don't know, I don't really watch them, but are they're like a pretty, like, they're still a pretty heavy team, right? Yes or no?
Yeah, they finished third in their division. They had almost 100 points. They got off to a really good start, but then kind of, you know, we're almost like a 500 team the rest of the way. But they are a respectable team, but the Oilers got the better of them.
And, like, I mean, like, I would say, like, with as just, like, completely uneducated opinion here, like, they're playing in, like, very soft division with the Sharks and Anaheim, right? So they got two, like, gimme teams right there.
Yeah, the Oilers, they beat them 4-1. So they handled their business against the Kings. But I just mean against the Stars and the Canucks.
Yeah.
Like,
no, yeah,
those were
sure.
tough series. Yeah. They were the underdogs in both those series. They came through. They were on the road in both those series. So I don't think it really matters that they don't have home ice advantage. Like, they've been there, done that almost. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm just going through it. So, like, yeah, Oilers was Kings, yeah, that was, they did handle their business with that. Canucks were surprisingly like a pretty difficult team to play against. Yeah. They got well coached by Rick Tocchet. They were very gritty. They like were playing their third goalie. Like it was crazy. And they still managed to put up a really good fight. And then you got Dallas, which played a really strong system there. Even at like that last game, they still looked pretty good. Like they're still, it just seemed like, as we talked about in an earlier podcast, like Oilers had the game breakers, and like that is the difference there. On the path to the East, we had. Panthers playing Tampa Bay. That's if I'm correct. You're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tampa Bay.
Which I think they won 3-1.
Yeah. Tampa Bay is like kind of like on the downswing. Still like a well coached and a good organization, but I mean like they handled their business with that as well. Boston, kind of a similar situation. So you're right with like it does seem. And the Rangers, they did seem like it's just like a kind of a mismatch for them there. So I think that, and you can disagree if you want, but I feel like. The Oilers, what I notice about the Oilers is just like, they just have the physical presence. It's just like, it's just on a very simple level. Like, their star players are also like huge. Like, they're big guys. Like, they can handle themselves and they're not going to be exhausted by like a 7-game series. And like, you can't just like, play like, good old Canadian hockey and check them until they're exhausted and hope to win that way. And then the other thing I will say is that Florida gives off, like, it's part of their system, but, like, they give away the most breakaways in the league as a design. And, like,
yeah.
the Oilers have the players to take advantage of those breakaways. What say you?
Yeah, okay. So one thing I'd say is, okay, Florida is a very physical team, and they clearly, like, bullied themselves, like, bullied everyone else in the East. But I agree with you. They played a team in Tampa who is kind of, you know, getting old. They've had a lot of playoff runs. They're kind of on the down right now. Boston didn't really seem like themselves. And the Rangers, they shut them down, and they did a very good job at that. But the Rangers were never, like, a super high offensive caliber team throughout the season.
Right.
Like, they kind of were more of, like, got great goaltending and, you know, beat their opponents that way.
Yeah. And also, so, like, special teams.
Yeah, exactly. So what I would say is that even though Florida does a great job at being physical and shutting teams down, this is, like, a test like no other.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, this will be a, hey, if they get it done, they get it done. They're the champions.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a much larger test than shutting down, like, the Rangers or the Bruins.
Yeah. So when I saw that, when that game ended, the Oilers game, which locked in our Stanley Cup matchup, I just had to go back and think of, like, all the eras in the past, I guess you would say, like, 15 years of the Oilers. And, man, like, Taylor Hall era. Like, when they just, like, got a bunch of, like, high draft picks. So crazy to see Nugent Hopkins, like, finally do it. Like,
yeah. You know, I'm so happy for that guy, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
he's the type of guy who, he was, I think, first overall pick. Didn't necessarily live up to the hype of a first overall pick, but, you know, once the team became McDavid and Draisaitl, he kind of took a lesser role, and he's excelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, took a little less money, and he's got a great mustache, and he's helping the team win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Indeed, yeah. And then I'm just thinking of, like, GMs, like the GM eras, like Craig McTavish. Like, I'm sorry, like, I guess he did he also, like, coach for a bit as well?
Yeah, he played for them, coached them, and was the GM.
Like, I'm sorry, if you're listening, Craig, I'm sorry.
All at once.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Craig, but, like, I just, like, have you ever seen a picture of him?
Bud.
Have you ever seen a picture of him where he looks like, he always looks like he's depressed, or like,
he looks like a math teacher.
Every picture of him is like, it just looks like he just, like, blew the big game every time you see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like he's just like, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, I really like this coach they got, Knobloch.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I don't know where the fuck he came from.
Right, yeah. Like,
he was doing a great job, and he's got balls, and the players seem to respect him.
Yeah.
And look, they were 3-9-1 to start the year.
Right.
They fired Woodcroft. They brought in the Knob. They beat Calgary in an outdoor game, and they just ended up going on a run. And it reminds me of the St. Louis Blues when they won the Stanley Cup in 2019. They were, like, last in their conference or division in, like, very early in the year. Like, it was middle of November, and everyone wrote them off, and they just slowly chipped away at it, and they ended up making the playoffs and winning the Stanley Cup.
And in the
finals, everyone had the Bruins, but they ended up winning. And I think the Oilers could do the same. And like I said, how are you going to bet against McDavid and Draisaitl, really?
Right.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be, Florida's really got their hands full. I think the goaltending is pretty even. The blue line is pretty even.
Yeah.
I would give the blue line, the defense, the edge to Florida
right.
in the series. But when it comes to forwards, like, it's all Edmonton.
Yeah.
And so we'll, you know, can Edmonton's offense outdo Florida's defense? I think that's going to be the storyline.
Yeah. And, like, just I think defense plus it's like defense plus the system of Florida. Will they be able to outdo it? Because a lot of, the weakness of the Oilers is that, like, they do, like, sometimes they get amazing goaltending, but then they just let in, like, some weird-ass, like, lapses, like, just gimme goals.
Yeah. Like, but that's also their, sometimes their, you know, their defense, like, you know, misplay here, misplay there, trying to get too cute, right?
Yeah.
You know, Darnell Nurse has had some bad games in this playoffs.
Yeah. He's like their winning boy, yeah.
Yeah. But he's been picking it up a little lately.
Yeah.
And would be playing some good hockey, but look, it's these guys have never been there before, right? They're young defensemen too, so obviously, you know, things they're gonna feel a different type of way.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Panthers have been there before, so
it's gonna be a good matchup, that's for sure.
Yeah, honestly, it's super hard to pick on it. Like, I wish I could give a more definitive answer of why I think one team is going to win. But I can't. And I'm going with the Oilers strictly just because I want to see them win and because they have McDavid.
And it's like going to be could very well be like a maybe not 7-game matchup, but like we could see like multiple overtimes. It's going to be like a lot of changes of momentum. Like it's good. I feel like the way I would say it would be like heavyweight like fight.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Lots of big punches, but like punch for punch.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also think that Oilers being on the road, I think they're better on the road. I honestly do.
Right.
So I don't see them like, Panthers have home ice advantage.
Right.
It's going, you know, Florida. Florida's going to win tonight. And honestly, if you're the Oilers, like, you guys play in Edmonton. You guys go to Florida for a couple games.
I know, it's going to be sick. I mean, play some golf. Yeah, it's
going to
be dope.
Yeah, this is going to be great. But I hate how they do a week off between, like, the series doesn't start till Saturday.
That's right. Great for podcasters. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's great, you know, but still the momentum, yeah, man.
Exactly. No, because
this whole week,
because they got to do like Super Bowl. They should be like having like press conferences, like mandated press conferences, all sorts of crazy stuff going on each day.
It's so stupid. Just get right into it.
I don't know. When does NBA finals start?
NBA starts Thursday.
All right, cool. Right on time. So, like, we'll probably put this out, Wednesday night. So it'd be right on time.
Yeah.
People
are waiting for the podcast before
I know. They want to put their bets on.
Charles Barkley is like, I want to hear what they got to say on George Washington. <Robinson. laughs>
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. God, my train of thought just gone. Yes, okay, so we got these NBA playoffs. Let's talk about this. Celtics and Mavs going at it.
Yeah.
What do you feel about this one?
Well, I think this is a great series just strictly because I believe we have the best backcourt in the East versus the best backcourt in the West.
Yeah.
I think that the Celtics... I don't think they got here necessarily easy, but I feel like they were kind of expected to be here. Like they had like 63 wins in the regular season. If they weren't here, it would be a disappointment. And believe it or not, this is Tatum and Brown's second trip to the finals. All the pressure is on them.
Right.
And that's why I think the Mavs are going to win, because I believe that they have been, you know, everyone was all year has been waiting for Kyrie to blow up,
right?
And you know, Luka to get injured or something, or they, you know, Jason Kidd to screw something up because no one believes in him still as a coach, and they've just kept throwing, you know, proving everyone wrong round after round after round. And they've really improved their defense a lot throughout the year since, yeah. you know, they picked up some really good defenders at the trade deadline, and that has changed the whole way they played. They've been playing, and they've become a really good defensive team. They finished middle, like top five, I think, in the West. No one really thought they'd get this far. A lot of people thought they'd lose in the second round. You know, I really thought that if Denver made it past Minnesota, they would have gave them a better series. But the fact is, hey, they played who they were dealt, and they really mopped the floor with Minnesota. And yeah. you know, Kyrie Irving is a fantastic player, and you know, he is like you go him versus Jaylen Brown, yeah. let's say up head 1v1, you're taking Kyrie every day.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Tatum versus Luka, you're taking Luka every day as well. And those guys have impressed me a lot, Brown and Tatum, but I just think they're going to meet their match here. And it's not, I don't think it's because they're chokers or whatever, but, you know, I just think that the Mavs are the team to beat right now.
Well, okay, so what's interesting is that Kyrie is like the perfect like number two. Like he's so like, and Luka just plays like similar to LeBron James back to when he was playing with Kyrie. It's like he's very good at facilitating for Luka, which is like is perfect, and it is that, as you said, they have been playing better defense, and they are.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's great at drawing, you know, the double teams.
Yeah.
You know, everyone focusing on him, having the ball in his hands. He could shoot it or dish it out to Kyrie, and then Kyrie, you know, you just give him a little bit of space. He's so quick with it. He's, you know, got the moves.
Yeah.
And he could just finish you if you're, you know, not paying attention. So. You know, Jaylen Brown has, you know, been playing really great this playoffs too. And if the Celtics win, probably wins MVP. But I just think that I would have no problem with the Celtics winning. I like Tatum and Brown a lot as a combo, but I just think that, you know, Luka and Kyrie together playing at this level that they're playing at, I don't know if anyone saw this coming, like Kyrie coming back to that like prime form he was in right. before, you know, Boston days or whatever.
Yeah.
And Luka just like stepping up as a leader. A lot of people thought that, you know, he wasn't much of a leader, kind of a ball hog, almost like a modern day James Harden. But, yeah. you know, he's shown in this playoffs that like, hey, he could get it done. He can make the players around him better.
Yeah.
And I think he's making Kyrie better.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they're just playing like, you know, unstoppable basketball right now.
Yeah. And also, yeah.
And,
yeah, go ahead.
And like I said, with the Oilers, I just think they're the more battle tested team. Like I think Boston's lost like two games coming in this playoffs, like one against the Pacers and one against.
Okay. Well, let's look at this. Like, what was their path? What was the East path? So they played, what was the first round they played?
They played the Heat.
Right. Yeah.
And they won 4. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Heat are like, I mean, like the East is just like, they're not. I will say that like the gap kind of started lessening at the beginning of the season, but by the end, just with injuries, is like the East is clearly inferior to the West. So like the path just inherently was easier for the Celtics.
The Celtics went 12-2 on their way to the final.
Right. And then they played like the Heat. The Heat are like they're always going to be consistent, but they were never really in contention for anything.
They had a lot of injuries.
Yeah. And then you play the Cavs, right?
Yeah.
And the Cavs had injuries as well.
Yeah, and they just weren't a serious contender, in my opinion.
Exactly.
And then the Pacers, they swept. So,
yeah, exactly. So there was no real like competition. No, nothing to really like gauge their ability to close games like against anyone really. Like there was no real diff. Like I mean, when I talked to friends at the beginning of the season, like Celtics were number one in the East, and they were always number one in the East, and like they were never pushed.
Listen, the Celtics should be here. If they weren't here, it would be considered a huge choke job on their organization.
Right, exactly.
But that doesn't mean they're going to win it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the Mavs, like that Minnesota team is like, it's a shock, but I mean, all power to them. It's exciting to see what happens to them next year. Right.
Yeah, and the Mavs, they weren't like it's been like adjustments. It's been a battle. It's been a grind all year, making things work. The new addition of Kyrie and new players coming in. So, they've been building up to this. And, you know, and that's nothing against the Celtics. Like, they had a great team off the jump and they did what they were supposed to do. But it's almost scarier playing a team that is finding its potential as the season goes on, because you don't know what the potential is. Like, we still don't know the Mavericks' potential.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we kind of know what we're going to get from the Celtics.
Indeed.
And that's why I think the Mavs are going to win, because I just believe that they're going to, you know, rise up to whatever the Celtics throw at them and, you know, defeat them, in my opinion. But, hey, I could be wrong, but...
Yeah.
If you're asking me my prediction, I would go with the Mavs. Mavs in six. Yeah. Oilers in seven, Mavs in six.
All right. And, like, you think it'll be easy? You think that it's going to be – it'll be difficult for the Mavs? Or you think it'll be,
hard-fought? The games will – yeah, no, they'll be – it's the finals. The games will be hard-fought. Like, there won't be any blowouts, I don't think. And it'll be – yeah, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, like – It's going to be a good series. Like I said, the two best backcourts, you know, in the East and in the West. I think they're going to go tit for tat. I just think the Mavs are going to get the better of them at the end.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Yeah, did you want to say something?
No, I just think that, the Mavs, you know. Luka and Kyrie, I trust them making those shots like in the final 2 minutes or in overtime.
Yeah.
If they needed to, more than I would trust Brown and Tatum. Not saying that they're not great players. Maybe they proved me wrong, but that's, you know, last time they were in the finals, they kind of didn't make those shots against the Warriors. And it was the Warriors, but that was an older version of the Warriors, which I thought they could have beat.
Like, you got to put an asterisk on that. That's not the Warriors of old. That's
exactly. Warriors, but, you know, But then, you know, I don't want to, like, get off topic here, but then people say, like, oh, you should put an asterisk on the Raptors.
Yeah.
But it's like, the Warriors, say they're the Warriors with or without KD anyways.
Yeah. So, you know what? Yeah,
I don't know.
Go back to that like hobby horse of Torontonians, but yeah, or I guess like Canadians in general. But like, I gotta say, I'll always say this: it's like they built their team like that. They had to trade assets in order to get KD. They made their team. They used like before him. They had a team that was a very deep bench. And they traded away those assets to be less deep, but more top heavy and like more skilled.
Yeah.
And like the downside of that,
injured, it backfired.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the bet you make. So like that's
part of it. And the Raptors took advantage.
Exactly. Right. And in fact, like that's why I will always say that Kawhi should have stayed here, because he like they played it perfectly, where they like definitely limited his minutes during the season and then started to ramp them up. And then he was playing ridiculous minutes by the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see Kawhi run it back for 2 years, but man, I just, now looking at what Kawhi is, just like an injured guy, like maybe we dodged a bullet. I don't know, but it would have been nice to see him run it back for 2 years.
But I mean, like if he had like that what's his name? I think we talked about this. That doctor, the magical doctor.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Like, you had the magical doctor here.
You had the mystery doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about in these the last minutes?
We talked about the Blue Jays. Talked about the finals. I just can't wait till they start to get underway, and then, you know, we could see more things that are happening, but not really. I think that's it.
Yeah. Alouettes training camp's back for
that'll be interesting as well. But
any word on this like Mitch Marner thing? I haven't heard anything recently.
So what I'm hearing is like Marner might want to stay now. I don't know. Like, I think they don't want to like trade him just for nothing, and potentially he starts the year with the team as well. I don't know if they're just saying that so that way teams are stopped like lowballing them.
Exactly.
They're probably getting a lot of lowballs. I think we'll hear more stuff once the season's over and we get to the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Okay.
But for now, I would say I'm not too sure what's going on, honestly. If I had to bet right now, I would say he probably starts the year with the Leafs, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens.
And, hey, while we're here, you got any... Who surprised you in the playoffs in both the NBA and NHL? Who do you think is going to be like a team to watch next year?
Next year in the NHL, I would say, wow, that's a tough question. I would say, you know, I would say that if Colorado is healthy again next year, I would say watch out for them being potentially getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals. I would also say watch out for the Canucks. They surprised me. I didn't think they would do this well this year and, you know, push going to seven with the Oilers. I think that was a big surprise. And in the NBA, like, obviously the Timberwolves, hopefully they could keep that going, you know.
They got clowned over the, like, through the NBA for that trade. What's it?
But the Gobert trade.
Yeah,
like,
the
you
Gobert
know
what? Trade, yeah.
It's proved them, like, it's the reason why they won two rounds.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully next year they could continue to build off what they have going on. So, we should, like, the Carolina Hurricanes, I thought disappointed me. I expected more from them. I thought they would beat the Rangers. I don't know what's going to go on there. Like, I feel like they might trade a lot of guys. That might also be a potential landing spot for Marner. I mean, they got some guys coming up due, like contracts due. So
I'm sure they're like sending trade ideas to the Leafs now. Like those teams getting those crappy like trades, like giving them buckets and stuff, like buckets of pucks or whatnot.
Yeah. but you know, it's I'm a little surprised to see Florida back because usually teams don't go 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, that's really impressive, Panthers are doing. So I'd say they are also like a huge surprise this year is how dominant they just took off in the playoffs and, you know, shows how well they're built for the playoffs. So, like, to get there 2 years in a row is, man, that's fucking, like, hats off to them. Well, you know, if they don't win, obviously they're going to suck, but that's amazing.
No, they are... they got the right mix because, like, that's the thing is that, like, that's why of course, you're going to bring it back to the Leafs because that's what we do here. But even though you're not even a Leafs fan, but like the Leafs, that's the thing is like they use a lot. They have a lot of top end talent, but like you'll notice both of these teams, like, I mean, especially the Fort Lauderdale.
Pumas.
Yeah, it is. The Big Cats. They play a good system. It's a team. It's a team. They've got great players, but it's a team. That's why they can play so well, because they have a good. They are well coached.
Exactly.
Such a big thing in hockey.
Yep. No, you're right. It's the main thing, is playing as a team and being built for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's like the Leafs are built like a basketball team. And it will, like...
They're built like an all-star team, you know? Yeah. To win all-star games.
That's right. Isn't that like, who was the guy who threw shade at the like, Marner and Matthews when they, like, won something at the all-star game? And
won the all-star game. Yeah. And I think it was Pat.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, Toronto won, like, a championship.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that was actually a pretty good dig. Yeah. Like, this is big for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then, yeah, that was the other big thing. The other thing I wanted to talk about, but we're not going to get to it. We can't give them so little short shrift. WNBA. We'll talk about that next time.
That'll be a good topic for next time.
Yeah. But, what was it? Who was like on Spitting Chicklets or something? Yeah, was it Spitting Chicklets where they asked him? Oh, right, yeah. If they wanted Bertuzzi to come back to Boston, and he's like, "Nah, we want Draisaitl." Yeah, because Yeah, go ahead.
No, was that Whitney who said that? I think that was Whitney.
My mind is blank, but yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah. You don't like, he's a traitor. You don't want him.
Yeah.
Although I do hear that they like, both him and Domi want to be re-signed, but we'll see.
I think they will be. Yeah. They just gotta get them in at the right number.
Yeah. If you can get them as like properly paid mid-level, like second tier players on your team, that'd be great. Because they play pretty well, like by the end there.
Yeah,
it's just I feel like they just weren't really like locked into, like they had difficulty finding spots for him. Keith didn't really want to play Domi so much because of his issues with defense, but. Yeah, I think they're both like pretty good additions to the team.
Yeah, we shall see what the Leafs do in the offseason. I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about the next coming week.
Yeah. What are the Habs up to?
I don't know. They got a lot of draft picks right now. I think they're going to make some moves. They got a lot of cap space, but I feel like, you know, they're definitely a team that's just relying on the draft right now, and just picking up, you know, guys here and there in free agency. The rebuild is still very alive in Montreal.
Yeah.
Hopefully next year they can make a step and potentially compete for a playoff spot. But like I said, in the Atlantic, it's going to be hard to make it next year. They got to figure out their goaltending.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Let's leave it there. That's good. All right.
Yeah, let's leave it there. That's a long.
All right. And the next time we talk, yeah, that was a long one. Next time we talk, the Stanley and O'Brien, they'll be Stanley and Larry. They'll be on their way. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Until we talk again.
All righty, man.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Yeah, enjoy Stanley and Larry.
Yeah. Exactly. See you later.
Very much, dude. Okay.